Starting in March, the SAT is changing, and students love that it's now an hour shorter and has no long reading passages. You see, the previous SAT was over 3 hours, while the new SAT, which we kind of refer to as the DSAT for digital SAT, comes in at just over 2 hours. And while the old SAT used to throw 5 super long reading passages at you, they've now changed it. So now you just read a paragraph for each question. And there's no more of that sort of zoning out on long reading passages like we were used to seeing before. While those are the two changes that students are most excited about, there are others as well, including that the SAT is now digital on your computer or tablet. This means that the days of paper and pencil SAT testing are now over, and every student preparing for the SAT needs to download the SAT's Blue Book app and bring their laptop or tablet to the testing center so they can take the official test on their device. By going digital, the SAT has unlocked the ability to become adaptive, meaning that they'll give everyone the same first Module 1 for the reading and writing half, but now you'll get either a harder or easier Module 2 based on how you did in that Module 1. And this is true for Module 1 and 2 in the math. So basically, we want to do as well as we can on that first module. That way we get the harder second module that's going to open up the highest possible score for us. Finally, the last major change is the renewed emphasis on vocabulary. While the latest version of the SAT only had a few vocab questions per test, students can expect many more on this new digital SAT. And there's a couple other smaller changes too, like students will get results faster in a few days instead of a few weeks, and they'll get to use their calculator on both of the math sections instead of there being a no calculator math section like there was before. All that aside, overall, what I want you to know is that the DSAT is, in my opinion, a better test that's designed to make the testing experience a lot better for students. With the SAT changing, there are a lot of students and parents who are wondering what the changes mean for them and how they need to adapt their prep. When the SAT changed for the last time in 2016, the changes didn't make a big difference for students because, frankly, they didn't know what the SAT was in the first place. If you're just starting your SAT prep now, then this is the only SAT that you'll ever know. When it comes to the content on the SAT, though, there really aren't many huge changes besides the elimination of long reading passages and that renewed emphasis on vocabulary. The math section of the new SAT is very, very similar to the previous SAT. That said, test prep is definitely changing to adapt to the new test. There is now going to be a lot more attention on making sure that students know how to use this Blue Book testing app so that they can navigate on test day and not have figuring out the app limit them and their score. The second biggest thing here in test prep that we're changing is teaching students all the vocabulary that they need to know now. In my opinion, SAT prep got simpler, not harder, with this new digital SAT. With the right preparation tools, you can definitely see huge improvements in your SAT score. If you boil it down, SAT prep has 3 primary components. 1, you gotta learn the math and grammar rules that are tested. 2, you gotta memorize the strategies for attacking each type of question. And 3, you need to take several SAT practice tests, learning from your mistakes on every question that you miss. Of course, this is exactly what we do in my program, Test Best Academy. In my 7-week SAT prep program, students will learn all of 60 essential SAT concepts and strategies in less than 2 hours per week of studying. They'll take 4 full SAT practice tests, and they'll memorize all the key vocab words and strategies through the Brainscape app. My students have loved the way that the Brainscape app adapts to show them exactly the concepts that they need the most help with. They also love the way the Brainscape app turns studying into a game. Once we at Test Best Academy evolved our test prep to include Brainscape flashcards, our students have retained far more of the material and now walk into their official SAT more confident that they've memorized the math concepts, grammar rules, and testing strategies than they ever were before. Basically, they're prepared with what they need to know to score their best. Since the SAT is technically optional at the majority of colleges, the first question a lot of students and parents have is whether or not they need to take the SAT at all. Now, there's a lot that goes into this question, but I want to keep my answer simple. If you want to have your strongest possible applications, you need to take the SAT. In a way, you can think of it as extra credit on your college applications. While extra credit is often optional in school, if you're really a top student, is it really optional? With college admissions as competitive as ever, the SAT is a key way to stand out from a crowded field of no-test candidates that look very similar on paper. Unfortunately, I'm hearing from a lot of families who are wishing that they took the SAT more seriously now that their seniors are hearing back from colleges. After we commit to taking either the SAT or the ACT, the second step for a lot of families is deciding which test is better for them. I hear a lot of people say that one test is more math and science and the other is more English and history, but that's not actually the case. So let's dispel that rumor right here. Both tests are half grammar and reading. So both can be 50% on that side. Then the SAT is 50% math, where the ACT is 25% math and 25% science. And science is really just data interpretation, looking at graphs and charts and figures. So you could say that the SAT is more of a math test, while the ACT is more of a math and science test. So if you're really trying to minimize the amount of math you're working on, you might want to lean towards the ACT. But in my experience, that's really not the best way to decide between the SAT and the ACT. The biggest differentiator between the two tests is the timing. I believe the questions on the ACT are a little more straightforward, but that comes with the trade-off of the ACT being more fast-paced. So you get a sense for it. The ACT asks students to read long passages, four of them, and then read 40 questions in 35 minutes. For an average speed reader, that's just 30 seconds per reading question, which is brisk. If you're trying to decide the best test for you quickly, I recommend that you work through my 10-minute SAT-ACT diagnostic exercise at testbestacademy.com/diagnostic. If you're willing to invest a little bit more time in discovering the best test for you, it's always a good idea to take a full SAT and a full ACT so that you can compare your scores and your testing experiences and feel really confident you're picking the best test for you, because you only need one of the two for colleges and you get to choose the one that's going to put your best foot forward. The changes to the SAT don't really change the calculus as to whether or not you should take the SAT or ACT in the first place. There isn't a change in how the SAT is being used in college admissions. If you can earn a great score, it's definitely going to help strengthen your applications and give you the best chance of getting in.